Mics are live.
Good afternoon. This is an informal hearing on two cases, number PU-17-490 and PU-17-75 regarding Great Plains Natural Gas rate issues and the TCJA, I think, would be a fair way to characterize it. If I didn't say it, it's 1:30, December 19th, 2018. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Brian Karasius and Julie Fedorchak. I don't have any opening comments. Do either of you?
I don't.
I do not.
Okay. This is an informal hearing. I want to emphasize that involves only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we'll have to wrap up the informal and do a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first in these, but before you start, I'll have our staff introduce themselves on the microphones for the record, and then you go around the table and then start. And contrary to what you've experienced before with our old microphones, where you needed to pull them up and occasionally probably brush into them in order to stay close enough to be picked up, these are best if you just leave them at the front of the table.
Victor Shook with advocacy staff.
Adam Renfant with staff.
Carl Liepitz, assistant general counsel with MD Resources.
Tammy Eberly with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Travis Jacobson with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Stephanie Bosch with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Okay, Tammy, are you kicking it off for Carl?
I'm going to let Carl kick this one off.
Good afternoon, commissioners. So I'm going to start with a little history, taking us back to October of 2016. And Great Plains had at that time presented a transportation agreement with ProGold. And that was approved by an order of this commission in October of 16. That was case number 16-604. In that order, there was a requirement that Great Plains file and update its tariffs and rate schedules in the following year. And so Great Plains did do that. In February of 2017, Great Plains submitted an application to update its tariffs and rate schedules in accordance with that. I'll call it the ProGold order, if you will. And that filing was revenue neutral, but was just adjusting the rates and the schedules. That was PU-17-75. Then January of 2018, of course, everyone's very familiar with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. That became PU-17-490. This commission ordered Great Plains and others to investigate the effects of that, of course. Great Plains did file comments in response to that shortly thereafter in February of 2018, and that has been ongoing. Today we're here to seek approval of a settlement agreement that was filed in October of 2018, and the intent of that settlement agreement would be to address and resolve all issues both in PU-17-75, the general rate and schedule filing, as well as the PU-17-490, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. So it's a combined settlement agreement, and we're here seeking approval, as well as approval of a refund plan, which my colleagues will go through in great detail. I'm obviously behind on slides.
There we go.
I think that's it.
Okay. So
with that,
turn it over to
Travis. Maybe you should go through that again and with the slides up.
Be more than happy to. No, I
didn't look up. I knew what you were gonna say.
We were all off because what you were saying on that slide. Yeah. And we were like, when's he gonna say this?
Disregard everything.
Thank you. Okay. We'll be fussier with Travis, though.
Yeah. I'm not going to go over his either, so.
Okay.
For a little bit of background, we serve just the town of Wahpeton and the surrounding area in North Dakota on our Great Plains system. As noted, there is about 2,300 customers. If we look at our load, we have firm and interruptible service tariffs down there. The firm load is a little bit under 300,000 decatherms, and the interruptible load is under just under 2 million decatherms annually. The distribution revenue for our whole North Dakota Great Plains system is $1.4 million, and rate base is $2.5 million.
Travis, I don't know if this is the right time or not, but I've always been curious why this isn't part of MDU. How did Great Plains, how did this little segment get connected with your other Great Plains?
And
why
so
isn't it just, why wasn't it part of the MDU system?
We purchased Great Plains, the whole company, in 2000.
Okay.
And at that time, Great Plains was a company that started out of Minnesota. And they were the ones who were serving Wahpeton at that time.
Okay.
So it was just part of the package deal. Through Great Plains, the total company, we have 19 communities, and all but one are in Minnesota.
I see. Yeah. All right. So it was part of that territory.
It yes. was. And just if we had a map, it's just directly across the river from Breckenridge. So when they brought that, they brought a transmission line down, or across from Fergus Falls. It actually starts in Fergus, Minnesota, and then goes to Fergus Falls, and then they brought gas to Breckenridge and then went across the border into Wahpeton. Okay. So when you see that map, it makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
We didn't have any gas. Montana, Dakota doesn't have any gas supply in that area.
I see. Got it.
But you acquired those other communities, too.
Yes.
Yes, we serve the Minnesota communities as well.
I think we're pretty well familiar with the impacts of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Obviously, the biggest item had to do with the changing of the tax rate from 35% to 21%. At that time, it required those rates went in 1-1, and it required a remeasurement of any deferred taxes that you had on your books. So in our settlement, what we have shown is a restated based on a projected 2018 cost of service. Interestingly enough, our last case, full rate case in Great Plains for the North Dakota was in 1982.
Wow.
So those rates have been in effect for quite some time. And just for, I mentioned the revenue piece, the income is very small in that town. Again, it's just the one town. The reduction in the tax rate, the federal income tax rate from 35 to 21, just on your current tax, was less than $40,000. We also, as I mentioned, remeasured the deferred income taxes, and within that, there are what we have categorized as really two buckets, the plant-related and the non-plant-related. So the total balance as of December 31 is $135,000 of excess deferreds that will get flowed back to the customer over that average rate assumption method, which is a requirement under the IRS guidelines. The 2018 amortization amount is just under $12,000 as a reduction in tax expense. Also, we have the non-plant related, and in this particular case, goes the other direction, if you will. We had a deferred tax asset, so this would be then an addition to tax expense. But in total, it was just over $3,000. And when you gross that up from a revenue perspective, it's just over $4,000 in lump sum.
So turning now to the settlement itself. So as part of that, we essentially provided a mini rate case. We went through a total pro forma cost of service based on using 2017 actuals and then looking at 2018. So it matches up with the tax change perfectly in that sense because it is the same calendar year. And so as part of the settlement and in these two dockets, we have agreed to a rate reduction of $168,306, which equates to 4% reduction annually. And this will bring the rate of return for the Great Plains Wahpeton system to the overall rate of return recently authorized for Montana, Dakota's North Dakota gas operations. And that was, you know, as all just recently authorized this very same year. So that overall return of 7.078 contains an ROE of 9.4%. So the reduction of $168,000 approximately will reflect the effect of the tax rate change, the deferred taxes, the plant-related deferred tax annual amortization, and then brings those rates into line with a return that was authorized for North Dakota Gas. This is an approximate reduction of $20 for a residential customer. And another little nuance with the Wahpeton system is we really have two schedules. We have firm and interruptible. So at this point in time, we don't have a specific schedule for a residential customer. But that is what a customer using 88 decatherms would approximately see as a reduction in their bill. And the primary reason for the reduction from where we were in 17 was an increase in margin from the interruptible customer group. So when we filed in 17, we said no rate change. Then tax change came along. That would have required a reduction. And we had an increase in margin. And it takes ever so little of a change in margin to change that ROE, which has over the years been rather frustrating, I think, for all, because we can go from a negative, if you look back in history, we'll go from a negative to a positive 12, 20% ROE. It kind of depends on what the plan additions were that year, what weather was, and what, again, this interruptible margin. So it... remind me, Travis, what does it take? $25,000 will change that ROE by 1%. So it is kind of like all over the board. But the rates proposed here would reflect that overall return of 7%.
7 or 4?
The reduction in revenues would be 4%, but the rate of return would be 7%.
And so the other question that's I'm just struggling to get beyond so I can keep up with all the other things you're saying. So the overall reduction was... What was it like? $168,000. But the tax reduction from 35 to 21 only accounts for $38,000. And then there's that accumulated depreciation, but those were small adjustments. So we're not even, with those things, we're not even a third of the way to 168. So most of it is actually on that interruptible class change. That's really the bulk of this as opposed to the TCJA.
It is in this case, yes.
Okay.
And you know, so we would have reported our in our annual report, and then we'd have been looking, well, what do we need to do with Great Plains rates? Because now it's producing this return. And so we in this settlement agreed to really take care of all of that and kind of reset, if you will. And you'll see a little bit later on, we're actually making the move to move this into Montana, Dakota, from an efficiency standpoint. And, you know, administratively, it's a burden. we know. We're reporting all of the same information, annual reports and all of this information for this one community. We'll
is that as easy as you make it sound, though, since this system costs are so different? It all comes from this system that's in Minnesota. It's really not connected to the MDU gas system at all.
Well, as time goes on, initially, right away, we thought, this is first, maybe there's a legal barrier. There really isn't, because we're all MDU resources today. Great Plains in Montana, Dakota. Effective January 1 of 2019 with the reorganization, Great Plains will be a division of Montana, Dakota. So it even further moves us as one company. And the difference in the cost of service is really the gas supply, which we can maintain a separate PGA for Great Plains as long as that gas is coming only from the Viking Pipeline through Minnesota, over, through Breckenridge to Wahpeton. But I think you heard yesterday we're actually we're pursuing or studying a line coming off of Viking to serve Wahpeton. So, again, there's kind of a lot of things moving us to that direction. And
help me understand how the costs for this aren't also driven by the mains and the distribution that's all part of that Great Plains system.
Once you get to a distribution system, Wahpeton is probably not any different than Linton, or which is probably the last town we actually added to our system until we get Gwinner or Mill. It'd be a different vintage, but we operate it. Same folks are, we've got folks assigned, Great Plains people assigned, but it operates the same. It's just it would be very similar in nature to Montana Dakota's distribution systems. Well, I don't think we could in one step move them onto Montana Dakota's rates. They have a $3 basic service charge today.
Right.
We couldn't take them to 20, to our full in one step, but we could work that direction. We could maintain the Wahpeton tariff as part of the Montana Dakota tariff, just maintain a separate rate schedule for Wahpeton. So those are some of the things I think we're trying to move to, and certainly there would be additional work to be done. But we've started the discussions on an operational basis. We see no issues. So as part of the settlement, then we've gone through the tariff changes that I think were part of that 1775 docket, and looked at those that really provide some consistency with Montana Dakota, and for the most part just update them. They're just because we haven't filed a rate case, we just typically don't go through the entire tariff. So it's just kind of some updates in those. And they would be splitting, putting a tariff schedule number on each schedule, which we don't have today. Just describing what the late pay is. It's really not a change to the customer, but not the late pay, but when a late pay would assess, making that similar to Montana Dakota. We're all using the same billing system. It's segregated by company. So it's really updates that are necessary or should be done to clarify, if nothing else. We're not, at this time, proposing any rate structure changes because, as I noted before, we don't actually have a residential tariff at Great Plains. And so we would need to do a full-blown audit to actually determine who in that firm class would qualify under a residential tariff. So we've had some opportunities coming up to do that. We're doing a service point audit, looking at all of our meters and going out and doing this survey. So if we can incorporate that with that process, we can get enough information then to, again, keep moving in that direction. The decrease is proposed to be applied only to the distribution delivery charge, And then, again, I alluded to this, but as part of the settlement, the parties have agreed that we will file one annual report, and that report would include Great Plains and North Dakota. And, again, just to put that in perspective, Travis noted, you know, the rate base for Great Plains, and it's about 1.5% of the total. So if we would combine Great Plains, North Dakota, and Montana, Dakota, North Dakota, Wahpeton would reflect about 1.5% of that. So as part of this proposal, as starting as early as our 18 results, we would report as one annual report as part of the settlement. And I guess that was important as I put it in the next slide as well. And then I mentioned...
Did you want to say it again then?
Thank you. As I mentioned already, you know, we'd like to start this movement toward combined distribution rates. And, you know, we've done this in the past. I mean, when we started serving Linton, again, we came off of Northern Border with gas supply to Linton. And it was a new system. So we maintained that distribution rates for that town for a few years and then ultimately moved it into the just regular rates 60 schedule. So I think that we could do that same thing with Wahpeton. You know, they can, because we're going to have to watch the customer impacts as we make those changes. Some would benefit greatly with a $20 basic service charge. Others wouldn't. So, I mean, we've got to watch all of that. But those would come in future filings where we would propose to phase that in over time to migrate those into one rate schedule. So with that, we'll turn to the refund plan. Question.
The refund plan we're proposing is very similar to the one we have in place for North Dakota Electric. We would refund 4% of the revenues collected January 2018 through or up to the date of implementation of new rates. For purposes of this slide, we're assuming a February 1st, 2019 date for that. A bill credit would be issued on customers' bills no later than April 15th based on customers' actual use for January 2018 through January 2019.
So 13 months.
For 13 months, yeah. We would separately identify it on the bill, and as Tammy mentioned earlier, it's approximately $20 for a customer using 88 DK over that time span.
Note, my slides are actually current with my talking points here. So, again, the settlement agreement, if approved today, would result in a reduction in retail base rates of approximately $168,000 or 4%. The refund as of November estimated at $30 for a firm service customer. And the we believe the settlement agreement would result in just and reasonable rates for the company's natural gas property used and useful, and for the service and convenience of the public in North Dakota. And we ask that you approve the settlement agreement to resolve all outstanding issues in both cases, PU 1775 and 17490, and with proposed rates to be effective February 1st, 2019. Of course, we are here for questions or wherever else you'd like to go.
So you say on this slide that the refund was estimated at $30 for firm service?
That's the entire firm class. Yeah, I mentioned previously we don't have a, you know, I use the 88 decatherm, saying that's probably what a residential customer would use. The 30 is just the entire firm class.
So that's why the residential you think will be less?
A little bit less, yeah. And it'll be, I mean, we've used revenues through November, so certainly, well, it's very warm. We'll pick up December and January. So, I mean, we would update it once we know what the actual revenues are that we collect. And if the rates aren't approved, I mean, if they don't go in February 1, maybe another month. In this case, like electric, we really need it to go into effect the first of the month in order to efficiently calculate the refund.
There's one contract customer that's separate from everything else, right?
Correct.
Is that like a trade secret thing or that we have to?
No, it is that Pro Gold contract that we was a part of that 16 docket.
So it's easier to ask questions. So when you say residential, that's just based on an approximation of what a refund would be for someone using 88 Decatherm, regardless whether it was residential or commercial or some kind of really small industrial. But the $30 is an estimation of the average for basically everybody but Pro Gold, right?
Well, we have some other interruptible service loads in Wahpeton. Pro Gold's the biggest of those. So this would be any other, there could be schools on there. It's anyone else that's served on a firm basis.
And it's 4% of their revenues.
So. It'll all be individual to the customer itself. So, I mean, we have a number of customers down there. I'm thinking probably using us as backup if Otter Tail has a electric rate because they use very little gas. Mm-hmm. So they will get much less of a refund.
Yeah.
It will be specific to the customer.
So what's the distinction? Somewhere in this October 19th filing, you make a distinction between the one contract customer. Page 3. Right at like the third and fourth lines.
So we have excluded, as we have in the other, we have excluded the contract customers. Their rates will stay the same. Whatever the contract rate was established at will stay the same. So it's excluding the contract customer.
Does the contract customer not have built into their rates a tax component?
There is, but it's a negotiated rate. It's not a specific cost of service. Well, we looked at a cost of service to support the negotiated rate. So it's the position we've taken with all of our contract rates. We have a number on the Montana-Dakota system as well and maintain those.
So if they wanted to renegotiate, saying, hey, you're probably charging us, you built into this negotiated rate a tax level, and we want to benefit from that, would they be able to, or is that all based on their contract language and when they can renegotiate, et cetera?
Basically,
okay.
Yes.
Yep. So is their share of, so MDU will, or Great Plains Natural Gas will, realize some benefits from the tax savings from the contract customer's share of the overall earnings. There had to be some tax consequences for having that customer, and now the tax consequences will be less. And so is that savings being distributed to the rest of the customers? Or is that being withheld by it?
No, it's distributed. It's the overall rate of return that I referenced includes the contract revenue.
Okay.
We didn't exclude their revenue, but in calculating the 4%, we excluded it.
No, I'm with you. Thanks. Any other questions for the company?
I don't.
At this point, we can come back. It looks like Mr. Fahn does. This is a question for the company that we want to do before advocacy staff?
Sure.
Okay.
Just wanted to ask, you have a reduction in base retail rates of $168,306. What portion of that is related to the tax savings?
Oh, over 50, right?
So the tax rate, so the change in rates is the 38,368. And then secondarily, the 11,000 is related to plant-related excess deferreds. And you'd have to gross that up.
Add those two together and subtract the 4,000?
You need to gross that up.
calculator.
Nope, I've got it here. 15,342.
That would be the 11.
11 grossed up.
So you 15, could add that.
342. So it comes out to be 115,000 is the remainder. So the sum of those two would be about 55,000.
And then the offset?
The offset is
four.
So on a rates going forward, that won't impact it, but in terms of the refund, it does. So it would offset that.
Okay.
So that the total tax impact in the refund is essentially $50,000 in round numbers.
The rest is rate changes.
Correct.
Okay. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, anything else in the company?
Nope.
Advocacy?
Yes. So I thought the company did a nice job of covering all the main points of the settlement. I'm just going to kind of cover the little bit more on the numbers. I do believe this is an excellent deal for customers. You know, like we said, it's been since 1982 since a rate case happened on this system, and that's really not healthy. You know, it's frustrating to see the annual reports come in with those wild swings, like the company said. I mean, we go from they have had years with a negative return rate, which is just not really seen in utility companies, but then they get swung the other way to a positive 20-30% sometimes. So it's frustrating, I'm sure, from both sides to see that kind of thing happen and to take steps to roll them in with MDU, the larger utility. It will help
it's almost
reduce.
Like being an egg producer, huh?
It is. It really is. So just to kind of recap the
then we don't get the 20 or 30 ever. But
never.
Hope to.
Just the average side and the downside. So just to kind of recap those numbers. So the actual reduction to tax expense was calculated at about approximately $38,000 and some change. Then we have the plant related excess deferred, ARAM, as we've been referring to it, $11,500 and grossed up for taxes, about closer to $15,000. We have that non-plant, which is essentially a liability to customers or asset to the company. The total was about $3,000, and again, grossed up for taxes was $4,000. And we negotiated taking that all in 1 year rather than trying to spread that small amount over some longer period of time. So that's why when we're talking about in the refund calculation, that will be removed from how much the customers are given in a refund relative to the actual rate reduction. So the rate reduction of 168 will be dropped down to approximately 164 in relative terms for the refund purposes for the year 2018. We also have an ROE reduction. You know, since the 82, I think the rate of return was set at 10 or 10.5%. Something like that, way back when.
What, a 14.5 ROE? Something.
What's that?
Just hard to believe. It's like 14.5% ROE.
The ROE.
Well,
well,
that was the 80s. 82, yeah. So,
yeah. So that's... it's... It's good to see that reduction, and it does have a financial impact on the revenue requirement as well. I've calculated approximately $20,000 is what's that's worth to the ROE, and those items, just the TCJA impact plus that ROE is less than half of the total reduction, and the remainder coming in from that extra margin from the interruptible class. So I think this was a really nice opportunity to solve a lot of issues all at once and take steps to further move the rate structure to what we consider a little bit more standard for our state. So I'm very happy with how the settlement agreement came out.
Did you guys say that you needed to have these new rates or if you're going to go forward with the refund, you wanted it all in place by January 1st?
Or we've actually asked for February 1.
February.
We're trying to manage through quite a bit of rate changes and refunds right now. So, and looking at your schedule, that seemed to fit well.
Okay.
We'll need to file compliance tariffs. So, again, we suggested February 1.
All right.
And that was just the company. It wasn't part of the settlement or anything, but just in looking at schedules, that seemed to work well.
All right.
And so we'll refund up to whatever that date is.
And I would agree with that. I think doing it at the start of a month is cleaner, and February is probably a more doable date than trying to do something in January.
Yeah.
So if there were something, I can't remember the exact date of our meeting, but we have a meeting about the 7th or 8th or something like that of January, that would be a good time frame for being able to accomplish that?
Oh, yeah, I would think.
Any other questions for staff? I don't have any.
I don't. Thanks.
Me neither.
Thank you. Did you have anything else to add?
Nope. I guess the other part, I think the company covered this, but there were a number of tariff changes in addition to these rates that were included in the settlement agreement. In large part, they are kind of making Great Plains' tariff structure more consistent with MDUs, you know, such as late payment fees and just kind of language, extension policies, things like that. So I've reviewed all of those and am in agreement with those as well.
Okay. One more time. Company, anything else to add?
Nope.
Nothing.
Okay. Well, we've had the handouts of the slides as well as the oral discussion that's on the recording that I would consider all to be evidence. Is there any objections to all of this evidence becoming part of the official record upon which a decision will be reached?
We have no objection.
No objection.
Okay. Then the evidence that we've received today will become part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? Seeing none, this informal hearing is closed. Thank you.